This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Hal.
Hey, we want to welcome you to our first edition in 2015. We're going to be talking about what do you do now that New Year's here and realize your train is off the rails.
You know, I don't know if anybody's train is on the rails on the first Monday after New Year's.
I sincerely doubt it.
You know, we're all addled. We've had too many carbs and too much sugar and a lot of free time, and it's just hard to get going again.
Well, and this past year is one of the shortest holiday seasons on the calendar. When Thanksgiving and Christmas are scheduled like they are this year, I mean, it was a short season to begin with, and you know what? It's going to be hectic even when it's not a short season. And so naturally the normal routine gets thrown out, or maybe we just say, parked, because you know we have other things to do that are good and worthwhile stuff. But it's now the new year and it's time to get back.
It's time to suck it up and get busy.
Right. Well, okay, before that, you know, I was thinking a little bit about just New Year's traditions, you know, and of course everybody's got their own. We have some pretty standard ones, at least for us in our part of the year, I mean our part of the country. On New Year's Day we always eat Hoppin' John and collard greens.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tradition. Now, a lot of people from outside of the South say, Hoppin' John, what in the world? Well, that's black-eyed peas and rice, basically.
Really seasoned.
You know, yeah, seasoned up there. And I was just reading this.
Well, I had somebody ask on the Facebook page, what are collard greens?
Well, they're, okay. You know, how would you describe that to somebody?
Like turnip greens or mustard greens or cut greens, but they're ever so much better.
Okay.
Only they take about 24 hours to cook.
yeah. So
hope you have a crock pot. Yeah.
Yeah. So took a long time to get ours cooked down. That's for sure. Yeah. Well, so anyway, that's pretty traditional. You know, this is usually we go over to your mother's house, the nearest grandmother, but she wasn't here. She was actually visiting another part of the country for the holiday this year. So we didn't get to do that this year. But one thing we do that's kind of unusual, I think most families don't do this. We have a family meeting. We have actually for about 2 days, we talk about the year that's just passed and then the year that's coming up.
Yeah, usually on New Year's Eve, we pull out all the remaining Christmas baking and goodies and put a spread out, you know, just hors d'oeuvres and fun stuff,
mm-hmm.
like party food. And we talk about what the Lord has done in our lives over the past year. And that is, it's always amazing because it's interesting how much you forget.
You do. There's so many things that happen and, you know, God blesses us so much from week to week, from day to day, that it just kind of fades into a blur, and if we even recognize it as coming from His hand.
Well, I remember several New Year's Eve just feeling like, wow, I can't believe all that happened.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe we came through all that. The Lord saw us through all that. I just, you know, it's really useful, I think, to sit down and review all that stuff at once as a family and thank God for His provision and grace and care through the year.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is it's a biblical thing to recognize the passage of the year, you know, the Jewish New Year, the Rosh Hashanah, which is not a biblical term, although it's Hebrew, it means the head of the year. You know, the Jewish New Year was a time of rejoicing and also reflection because it led into the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. 10 days afterwards. And so it was a time that was both joyful and serious. And
well, that's what's been in our house. You know, it's a time of reflection. Lots of times we're stunned at the trials we've overcome. We can rejoice at the victories that different family members have had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just find it incredibly valuable. And then what we do on New Year's Day, I find that valuable too.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah.
By the way, I just found out today, black-eyed peas are a Jewish New Year tradition.
Really?
Yes, I thought it was something that maybe our southern ancestors had picked up from the Africans who came over involuntarily and In fact, it's a Jewish tradition. And so,
that's interesting.
Yeah. And so they, in fact, they eat not only black eyed peas, but they eat greens too.
Really?
Yeah, spinach in that case. They didn't, I don't think
that's
they had collards.
Interesting because, you know, everybody in our area has greens and black eyed peas for New Year's.
Yeah.
That's just a tradition. Interesting.
Sure. Okay.
You know, on New Year's Day, we have a big meal.
Yeah.
It was good this year too. Wow.
Mm.
And thanks to our sons who picked up and cooked because I was not feeling good. But then we have a family brainstorming meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And we sit and we talk about the next year, everyone's individual plans for the new year, things we want to accomplish. Not just like resolutions, but more just ideas,
mm-hmm.
plans and thoughts. And we brainstorm about the family business and the ministry and everyone's businesses and ministries. It's really cool.
Yeah. I think it's good to take that time and kind of look ahead and say, you know, we've got all of these opportunities ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things we can do. It's exciting. You start looking at that list, and it's not things, when you're brainstorming, it's not necessarily things that you are compelled to do, but they're opportunities. There's things, maybe we can achieve this. Maybe we can set out in a new direction. And, you know, something I've seen in some of the homeschool organizations around the country, I know in Michigan they do this, they do this in Arizona, there's some other places. It's a good time to reflect in the middle of the school year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to say, how has the year gone so far? Okay, Christmas, that's holiday.
Well, usually in December for many of us, it doesn't not go well.
Right.
You know, because everybody's ready to be done with it. We're excited about the holidays. There's a million performances and events and concerts that we want to go to. And so usually by the time we prep for Christmas, I'm usually feeling like a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always have a little bit of dread about starting back in January. It's like,
mm-hmm.
okay, time to pick up that thing I failed at again.
But really, January is your reset time. That's your time to start again.
It's time to hit the big button and start again.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a relief today to realize, okay, yeah, so we failed at some things. Let's start again. Today we can make sure that grammar gets done. We can make sure that math gets done.
Mm-hmm.
And we can hold everyone accountable for getting everything done without whining and complaining. And so, yeah, it's a good time to reset.
You know, I was pleasantly surprised how well everybody took to it this morning. Because
we had a major problem, but that person was very quiet and it wasn't caught until later.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't disruptive.
No, it was just non-compliant.
Oh, I was not aware of that. Someone flew under radar there.
Yeah, so I hope that someone has now finished their work or they are in big, hot trouble.
Mm, okay. Well, but anyway, it appeared to be going well. I felt like we got a good start anyway.
Yeah.
That's good.
With the younger children, it went well and got some stuff done with our youngest that had been lacking.
Well,
it's a time to start over. It's time to embrace that sense, okay, you know, the thing is about homeschooling is if you have completely blown everything to this point, surely you've got enough sense, it's enough done that you can start now and get it done before the next year starts.
Well, you just pick it up.
You got 8 months before the next year starts. You know, you can get it done. You can recover. You can do more. You can double it. You can get it done.
You know, our blog post this morning, it was funny because I had set this thing up months ago. I'm not sure why I did, but I set up this one blog post on persevering. If you're a homeschooler and you're feeling down and discouraged and dejected and dreading all of this, it's important to persevere. There's good reasons to do it. And you check out our blog at raisingrealmen.com. It's on why you ought to persevere. Get that heroic looking mother in the picture. But at any rate, you know, that one thing is embrace the opportunity. Don't dread it, but say, this is my chance to start over and to do it right this time, you know, if that's the way you feel about it. But I think being realistic that everybody's coming off break.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be a little scrambled in their head. Their concentration's not going to be there yet. You know, it's okay to start a little slow. You know, it's just like the start of the school year in the fall.
Yeah.
You expect it's going to take a little while to get the habits reestablished. So you need to be realistic about that and not get discouraged. Say, well, I'm never going to teach these kids their two lately. And I think this is, you know, the big resolution time. I think this is a good time of year, not just to make resolutions, but to be honest with yourself and set some realistic goals so that you can achieve those things and be encouraged by your progress. You know, you can update your goals as you go along.
Yeah.
If you say, okay, I'd like to lose 50 pounds this year or whatever it may be for you. If you say, well, you know, I'd really like to lose 10. And if I lose 10, I'll celebrate and then I can lose another 10. You know, and something like that can feed itself, so to speak. You can encourage yourself as you go along as you got those mileposts rather than taking too big a chunk, and by the end of January, you failed and you're discouraged and you think it'll never happen and you give up.
Well, that's just it. You know, I think being realistic is really important this time of year because, mm-hmm. you know, I saw all over my news feed people saying, well, my kids are out of control. They're so wiggly there. You know, and mm-hmm. I thought, and you're surprised.
Yeah.
You know, they've had 2 or 3 weeks where they've been having fun and playing and on their devices and watching TV or watching Netflix and eating lots of Christmas goodies and gorging on candy, and now you're surprised they're having trouble paying attention.
Now we're going to be vegetarian for a while, children. Let's all enjoy it.
No, not in our house.
In our house, not in the meat eater's home here. That's
but
for sure.
Anyway,
but,
I think when you realize, you know, it's normal for everybody to be wiggling and scatterbrained right now, and we're going to get back on track. We're going to get it under control. I think we need to take more breaks.
Yeah.
You know, to say,
those are undervalued, I think.
You know, and I tell people that all the time, and I still fail at it myself, Hal. I still say, okay, just focus and, you know, we'll get done with these next couple of subjects. And it's so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I need to do is I need to say, look, why don't you give me 5 lifters? I want you to do 20 push-ups or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come back so much better able to learn.
That is a real misstep in the schools when they say, well, we've got to do so much preparation for the standardized test, we're going to cancel recess. Well, you know what? Those brains start to fade out after about 2 or 3 hours.
And we do the same thing at home.
You know, and sometimes we do the same thing. And so taking a break, doing some research, at least changing the activity level.
Doing some fun stuff.
That, you know, really that's an investment in productivity.
Yeah.
It's not just a waste of time. So, well, that's, I tell you what, we've got several things here that we want to talk about, but I wanted to jump in for just a minute here. You talk about prospects of the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are looking at our calendar going forward. Embrace the prospect here. No, we have got right now on our calendar, we have 12 conferences scheduled.
Wow.
12 big major events scheduled. And I know there are some others. Okay. We just don't have them finalized yet. So I tell you what, if you would like to hear us live and ask us questions, you really ought to come to one of these events. We're going to be literally all over the continent.
Yeah, literally coast to coast.
I mean, we've got a conference in Fargo, North Dakota. We've got one in Tampa, Florida. You're going to be speaking at a conference in the fall in Kitty Hawk.
Yeah, I'll be speaking at 2-1 conference.
Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, and we're going to be in Portland, Oregon. And I tell you what, if we're in Portland, we're going to go out to Astoria. We're going to go to Cannon Beach and see the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
And so we're literally covering the continent this year. We're going to be coming up with the first one's going to be this one in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I want to mention to you. It's a 1-day conference on January 24th called the Be Encouraged Conference. What a great title for January. Yeah, they asked, would you come to Tampa in January? I said, yeah, we'll do that. and it's sponsored by Bell Shoals Baptist Church in Brandon, which is, you know, a suburb of Tampa. And if you want to get information on that, come to our website, raisingrealmen.com. We're going to be keynote speakers there. I know Pam Forster from Doorpost is going to be there.
You can click on event,
mm-hmm.
and it'll tell you where we're going to be. Like how we're going to be at blogging conferences, at churches, at homeschool conferences, literally from Outer Banks of North Carolina to the Oregon coast.
From Oregon Pass to the Oregon coast.
All over the place.
Yeah, that's going to be great. So
anyway,
we hope we will see you there. But since we've got you here right now, let's talk a little bit more.
Well, yeah, I like what you were saying earlier, Hal.
Yeah.
That you know, Dave Ramsey has baby steps for getting out of financial trouble.
Right.
He doesn't say, all right, everybody, get out of debt, pay off your mortgage. He says, okay, first save some money and get an emergency fund.
Yeah.
And then you start paying off your smaller debt. It's a step-by-step approach.
Yeah.
Same thing, our friend the Fly Lady.
Right. Yeah. I remember used to get everything she used to send said, clean your sink.
Still does. And she says, it's just like, start a fund, get one spot in your home clean.
No matter what else is going on, the sink will be clean.
Yeah.
And then you can build out from there.
Yeah. And I think that that is a good way to look at the new year, because I know the temptation is to set a zillion resolutions and plans that suddenly we're going to be, have tons of self-control and enormous energy and great determination. In other words, we're going to be very different people than we were yesterday. It's not going to happen.
The calendar did not reform you. That's an important principle.
Oh.
Yeah. I remember waking up in the morning of my 18th birthday and thinking, I don't feel any different.
Well, I was lying in bed last night, and I was thinking, you know, I really don't feel radically different than I did when I was 21.
Well, let's see, that's the flip side. That's the good part, isn't it? Yeah. But yeah, and I think as we look at our plans, as we look at our resolutions, whatever, I have a tendency, I mean, how many times, I know, have I started something, whether it's an exercise program or a diet or some personal reformation of whatever, and, you know, useful, worthwhile things to strive after, and go along fine for a while, and then something will slip. Maybe I'll miss a day in exercising, or I just can't quite resist that.
Or
that
we're at a
thing.
I'm trying to stay low carb, and we're at a banquet or something, and there's no alternative but to eat the carby thing.
That's right. And the tendency is too often to say, well, I guess I've blown it now. I'm going to eat the rest of the pie now.
Yeah.
I'm just going to finish off this pie.
I'm so sorry I had to eat a donut. I guess I might as well finish the box. Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then do the same thing every day.
You know what? If you get a rough start with your homeschooling and you think, you know what? We're just not going to be able to get through this lesson. Well, that, okay. So if you don't do five subjects, then do four.
And if you just got math today, you say, hooray, we got math done.
Yeah, maybe we'll
tomorrow
do...
Tomorrow we'll do math and grammar.
Yeah, maybe we'll do two things tomorrow, okay? But, yeah, take, you know, damage control. Minimize the damage if something slips. But recognize that just because you slipped doesn't mean you failed.
No, you know, it was important to me when I realized that... really thought about the meaning of that verse that says, the steps of man are established by the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and he delights in his way. That, you know, my life is established by the Lord.
Right.
And he's not saying, well, there you go again, Melanie.
Uh-huh.
I tell you what, you know, I get tired of watching it. He's not shaking his head sadly over me.
Here you are, praying about it again.
Yeah. I know that's why I deserve it.
Right.
Instead, you know, he sees us through the righteousness of Christ. And he delights in our way.
That's
wow.
True. Well,
that's amazing.
We are covered by the righteousness of Christ. We are born again, and we are justified in his sight. We have salvation. We are made pure. But that's from God's perspective as our judge and as our legal authority, because you're back here on earth. It's progressive sanctification.
We still do things that are wrong. We still have the flesh. We have temptation.
We have to grow into these things. And, you know, that's the same. It's the same with our New Year resolution. You know, how much better to say, okay, rather than say, as of this week, I am not going to eat high carbohydrate things, or I am going to be a gym rat from this time forevermore. When that's not what we've done. That's not a habit we have. That's not something we're trained into. But, you know, over the course of the weeks, as we work at it, we can start to establish some of those habits of maybe getting up earlier and getting an earlier start on family devotions in school. Yes, that's me. That's for me. Okay. Or the other things, you know, paying off bills or whatever. You're not going to go out and pay off the mortgage next week, most of us.
Or not. Throwing up my hands and going to check Facebook or email when I get annoyed with the children, but instead saying, all right, guys, we need to rethink. We need to start over. We need to pray.
Regroup.
We need to start again.
Rally behind the Virginians, boys.
Yeah.
And let's press on. Okay. So, you know, one of the things I really like about being a believer is that when we do fail, we have an advocate.
Mm-hmm.
We have forgiveness. There's grace available. And you know what? We can start over. And if we have to start over again next week, if we have to start over again this afternoon, okay, that's fine. We start over again as many times as necessary.
You know, Hal, one of the things that I think has helped us a lot in looking back mm-hmm. and seeing what God has done in our family is your journaling.
You know, yeah, and let me talk about that a minute. This is something that I adopted a few years ago, and I gained a lot of enjoyment from it, to be honest. I guess I'm historically minded, but I have tried keeping a diary a bunch of times, and it's one of those things that petered out after a while. And I realized, I guess, two things I ran across about the same time. One of them was a book that was released several years ago that was President Reagan's diaries. He kept a diary while he was in the White House. And as I'm reading over this, I realized that the only days that he didn't write something in his diary were the days that he was in the hospital recovering from a bullet wound.
Wow.
Okay. And then he got.
And he was president, for crying out loud.
And he was the president, and he was still every day. But the key is, he didn't sit down and write 1,500 words a day. He didn't write an eloquent, well thought out, major sort of missive or essay every day. But he just wrote just a few lines, a couple of sentences. And even more brief was, we found a. That was an interesting sound. I don't know what that was, but anyway, we found an old journal that was kept by one of my ancestors when he was a planter in South Carolina back in the 1800s, and his journal was literally like a sentence a day.
Yeah.
Two sentences a day. He'd say, went to church and the pastor spoke on the sin which so easily encumbers us.
Or,
and that's all he'd say.
Yeah, or he might say, planted the south field, mm-hmm. heavy storm in the evening.
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal. But, you know, you get to the end of the year, and you can scan back over that, and you can, and it will bring back to mind the things that have gotten buried. And it's so helpful, not just from the historical standpoint. It's very enjoyable, I mean, to look back and see God's faithfulness, but it's also helpful to be able to look back and say, what day was that we had to have the car trouble, or when was that doctor's appointment again?
It really helps with tax time, too.
Yeah, it does. So I want to encourage you, if you've never done that, just give it a try. I don't have a book or anything. I just keep a word processing document on my computer. You can do it in WordPad. You can do it in Google Docs if you do that, or you know, anything. Just write a few lines. What happened today?
Well, that has been such a valuable addition to our family.
Mm-hmm.
I've been so glad you do that, Hal. I keep thinking I'm going to, but I haven't yet. But it's been a real blessing. Sometimes I go back here and read your journals and remember. What has happened. I think we're going to really love that in our old age if we ever get old.
Yeah, well, I think so. Well, some days I feel like we're arriving rapidly. I want to encourage you on that. You know, in maybe in a more specific sense, this is a good time to catch up on your record keeping.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of times I know, especially in the younger years, it's easy to let the record slip in your homeschooling because you're probably going to catch it up eventually. But
and you don't need a lot of records when you're young.
No, you don't.
You know, it depends on your state. But in our state, you basically just need an attendance form.
Right.
You know, but some of that you're going to want to remember. But
mm-hmm.
when they get to be high school age, you got to keep records. And I remember thinking I would never forget. But it's amazing. It's hard to even remember what courses they took last year.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, it's so easy to forget because we're just so busy and there's so much going on. And, you know, a lot of us have a lot of children.
Or how about your reading list?
Oh,
you know,
goodness.
And of course, now this is something you can recruit your older kids to be doing for themselves. You know, to say, all right, you need to start a notebook here and keep track of the books that you're reading.
Mm-hmm.
And the books that you're using in your subjects, because when we prepare your transcripts, that's all going to count.
You don't want all that stuff.
And if you can't remember it, we can't count it.
Oh, yeah.
And so the record keeping becomes really important those last 4 or 5 years. So now's a great time to say, well, I'm going to start doing that a little bit more in advance and not count on doing it when my son or daughter is 17 and, oh, we got a college application due next week, right?
It's terrible.
Yeah. So, no.
Been there, done that.
Right.
Okay.
So, let's see. Anything else? Anything else you want to throw out there? We got a couple of minutes here.
Just January can be very hard on us emotionally because there's not much sunlight. The weather tends to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you live in warm parts of the country, it tends to be cloudy and gray and rainy. And be careful about that because it's really easy to slip into being gloomy and full of the blues and cranky with your children. And I have found so much that the tenor of our home is a reflection of my attitude. That if I am gloomy and grumpy and sad, then the whole house tends to be that way. Everybody seems to get that way. And so make sure that you get enough sunlight or take some vitamin D and fish oil, but do what it takes not to let the January blues take over.
And you know what? If that means upgrading your light bulbs, go from 60 to 75 watts, put a 100-watt bulb in the lamp beside your chair or whatever, I mean, do what it takes.
Open the blinds as soon as you wake up, you know, and set your eyeballs outside of the sunlight. You know, get some activity, exercise, you know, do the things that will keep you from descending into the blues because your kids need you.
Well, don't let the weather be a drain on you spiritually. You know, when it's something, when you know that you're sensitive to that, then take steps.
Oh, I am.
You know, it's not a matter of, oh, I'm weak that way. Okay, that's fine. If you need a crutch, get a crutch. It's okay. I mean, God understands and God made you the way that you are, but not necessarily for you to be struggling along and saying, oh, things are awful because I feel so, so sorry.
Well,
and, you know, really.
I remember one of our sons was traveling overseas in a country. He was living in a country where it just was gray all the time.
Yes.
And he was drooping. And I had packed some vitamin D for him because I heard that that country was really challenging that way.
Right.
And he said he was so desperate one day, he just stumbled back to his room and said, didn't Mom put the vitamin D in here and took it? He said he felt like a little ray of sunlight followed him around. And, you know, that's okay. Get what your body needs to keep your brain healthy, you know?
Yeah.
And so don't let the January blues take over. Make sure you spend time in the Word. Make sure you listen to some uplifting music. You get some exercise. Get some sunlight.
Get some fellowship.
Get some fellowship. Yeah. And, you know, spring is coming, folks. It really is.
That's right.
I know that's hard to believe if you live in Minnesota where the wind chill is like negative 40 today now.
Is it really?
Yes. It's really cold. They had to close down some ski slopes because it was too cold to ski.
Well, when we went to Winnipeg, when we went to Manitoba, in March a couple of years ago. It wasn't in March, it was February. We went to Saskatchewan in February a couple of years ago, and when we crossed the border into Canada, they were closing down the schools because the weather was too bad for Canadians.
That's pretty cold.
But you know what? We can live through those kind of things, and God's given us the means. I remember that dog with a really, really, really thick coat staying at that home in Manitoba where we visited. And you know what? That dog was happy because he embraced what God had given him. He wasn't digging the fur out. He's saying, hey, that fur keeps me warm.
Wow.
And you know what? Whatever it takes to help you feel better, to make it through those times, embrace them. You know? And thank God that he's given you those means.
And make sure that the children get enough exercise, too. And if that means running up and down the stairs or getting a little small trampoline to keep in the house or something, make sure those kids get enough exercise because cabin fever will drive you all batty.
Mm. Yes. Even if it's three-bedroom, two-bath fever.
That's right.
It doesn't have to be a log cabin.
That's right.
All right.
Well, folks, Happy New Year. We are thankful for you. We're thankful for you listening to our podcast.
Yeah.
For following us on Facebook and other social media, for coming here to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know if you want to come to our area. You can go to helenmelanieyoung.com/speaking. And we will be all over the place this year, so the likelihood is, come to your area.
We'll probably be near you sometime soon. So we hope that you'll keep your eyes open. Check out our website at raisingrealmen.com or come to our Facebook page, even better, facebook.com/raisingrealmen.
And we've got more training swords now, folks.
Oh, okay. And that's another story. All right. But thanks for joining us. This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical. We hope you'll join us again soon.
See you later, folks.
Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HALANDMELANIE.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.